Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Thank you. Okay. Family, here's the thing. All of us in this room want to be seen by our families for who we are now, not for who we used to be. But I'll tell you what I think the problem is with that. I think the problem is there's a part of your life, a part of your past that you haven't forgiven yourself for. I think there's a part of it that you haven't forgiven. Sure, you look at the big broad strokes and say, yeah, you know, everybody did a bit of this, everybody did a bit of that. You know, of course, the Lord, I confess that, Lord, give me forgiveness for this thing, that thing, this other thing. But I will bet there's some area in your life, some corner of your life, something that you did, something that happened somewhere, sometime, and you say to yourself, I can never be forgiven for that. This never goes away. It's never going to be okay. This thing is never going to be okay. If you feel that way, understand other people see that in you. Other people understand that about you. They see that you talk about forgiveness, talk about a new life, talk about all these things. But they see that guilt and that shame that's tied to your past. They see that in you. And some people, unfortunately, would take advantage of that. But I want to ask you to think about that one thing that you don't want to forgive yourself for, that you don't, you're not prepared to let go of. And I'm going to tell you what the devil says in your ear about it. The devil says, that can never be right. That thing you did is never going to be okay. There's no way to make that okay. Here's what I'm telling you about that. He's right. There's no way that you could take a sin and make that be right. Doesn't work. If I burn your house down and say, here's a check for a new house, are we even? No. You're still in a great deal of inconvenience. Some things that can't be replaced. Some things you can't, some things that are done and you just can't undo it. You know, you got pictures of your kids that are all burnt up in the fire. I can't pay you money to make that undo. Doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. We can't just do, have this, you know, I'm going to pay this off. I'm going to, but we're trying to do that, aren't we? We have that mentality. I got to try and work this off. And we take that mentality into our families as well and say, I got to try and make up for all the things I did in my past. In the history of the church, and I'm surprised old Ted didn't mention this. This is his thing normally, but I'm going to. In the history of the church, they used to have a thing called penance, years and years ago, penance. And the idea behind it was when you did something wrong, you went to the priest or what have you, and you confessed, and then he gave you something to do to beat up on yourself about. Depending on how bad it was, you had maybe you had to do a whole lot of things. Maybe you had to, you know, say Hail Marys, or maybe you had to, you know, get pay money or roll a rock up a hill or something. I don't know what, but they'd make up something and say you got to work it off because you can't just be forgiven and that's it. And these dudes would take them, whip themselves, and punish themselves and beat up on themselves because they were trying to say, it's not okay for me to just be forgiven. Because what I did was wrong, and it can't ever be right. Let's look at this verse right here. Look at this verse here at the top. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has he removed our transgressions from us. I want you to look at this word transgressions, and maybe you don't know what that means. As you know, this is the Old Testament. Psalms is in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, as you may know, is written in a language called the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, you could, if you wanted, I think, translate that as sins, that he takes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And that would be a fine translation. The word really means to be where you're not supposed to be, doing something you're not supposed to be doing. If you think back to if somebody is a people and they're in folks' neighborhood doing something they shouldn't be doing, that's a transgression. That's what that word means. That's the exact right word for what that situation is. But he says, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. He's removed it. He didn't say it was okay. He didn't say what you did wrong is not wrong anymore. What you do wrong, if what you did is not wrong, then there'd be nothing to forgive. You understand? He's saying, I've taken these sins as far as the east is from the west. Some of us spend our whole life just chasing after that same sin that he's taken away. He's removed that. It's no longer part of the picture, but we still keep trying to grab that back and have that be part of the picture. Humility would solve a lot of these problems. That's it's kind of hard to say because humility is developing a whole nother strength. But it's hard to insult and offend a humble person. You understand what I'm saying? If you go to a humble person and say, you know, you're not acting very Christian, they'd say, yeah, you're probably right. I'm a work in progress. I got a long way to go. I'm just started. I'm not a bad Christian. I'm a new Christian. There's a difference. And it's going to take me a while to get the hang of it. And if you people keep acting crazy in my face, probably it's going to take a lot longer. You want me to be a good Christian so bad, why don't you help me instead of tempting me to go the other way? I'm going to end up worshiping Satan by the time I'm done with you. See if he won't strike somebody dead and so I can lay my burdens down here. Humble person isn't trying to defend themselves, isn't trying to, and that's a lot where a lot of this comes from. People, you know what the worst thing for me being around family sometimes is, for some weird reason, I end up seeing myself through their eyes. And I don't like who I see when I see myself through their eyes. And I don't know why that is. And I think a certain amount of it is, they just, it's almost like if you took a record and you had that needle and it just skipped along every now and then, you just get little tiny bits and pieces. If you took all those little tiny bits and pieces and put them together, you would have the worst picture of me that you could possibly have. I mean, you're going on almost no evidence. My family, I love them. I do. I really do. They have no idea who I am. None whatsoever. They're taking these little bitty bits and pieces. Now, for some reason, they're confident that they do know who I am. I don't know what gives them that confidence, but they don't have enough information to be confident. But they have these little bits and pieces, and they kind of fill in those gaps, and then I decide, well, they decide to see me that way, and for some reason when I'm around them, I start seeing myself that way. Isn't that crazy? Ask yourself, does your family really know you? Do they really know you? They know your past. They know the things you've done. Do they know who you are today? Do they really? See, if they don't, then this sense that you have of not being able to forgive yourself makes you feel like they do know you. It makes you feel like, oh, they know all the bad stuff. And the bad stuff is the true stuff. The stuff that I'm on now is just on shaky ground and who knows and whatever. And it's, you know, that maybe that's going to hold, maybe it's not. See, we get caught up in this mentality of the people who have a bad opinion of us are deep down, we believe they're right. I know you. I know you. If you don't agree with me, you can come up here and box with me if you don't like it. I know you. I ain't as scared of any of y'all. I'll go for your ankles or something. I don't care. I know you. You don't know this, but myself and the staff, we go home and we pray for y'all. We pray for y'all by name. We lift you up and we say, Lord, what kind of person is this? What kind of potential do they have? What is it that they bring to the table? I need to know that if I'm going to minister to you. I got no other way. That's where all these words is coming from. Is that sense of, Lord, give me an impression, a picture, a vision for what kind of person this is. I know your past. I've worked for a quarter century with criminals. I have not seen anything new for about the past 24 years. okay, is all known to me. You could just say, I did whatever you think I did, and that's fine, and I got a picture of it. There's nothing new there. But I know who you are today. I see the struggles. I see sometimes you coming in here just hanging by your fingernails, but by God, that counts. That counts. You're hanging in there. You're making it. You're doing this thing. You can't control the way that your family acts. You can't. There's zero control over that situation. There's nothing you can do to make them behave. There's nothing you can do to make them see you differently. There's just not that control. There's an influence, as Ted was talking about, and sometimes that takes years to kick in, but you cannot control it. You should. As was mentioned previously, we should look at limiting the amount of time we spend with dysfunctional family members. You probably got some family members that you could spend more time with because they've been an encouragement to you all along. And maybe we need to make more time for them, but you got some family members, bless them, they don't know how to do anything but discourage you and judge you and tear you down or whatever. And it's okay to just push that to the side and say, you know, I'm gonna adjust my time accordingly. Not only do you have this problem, but Jesus himself had this exact same struggle that you have with your family. This is the book of Mark, and Jesus says, he left there and he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. So this is Jesus in his hometown. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. Well, what's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracle. Can you believe this? He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And that's his own people. His own people. Why? Because it said, isn't that the carpenter? To them, it was this sense of they had a box they put him in labeled, you know, construction worker. Isn't that the guy who put up the drywall in so-and-so's house? Why are we supposed to be listening to him? Who does he think he is, by the way? And why is he trying to tell us everything? And you know what? I'm as smart as him. I remember when he was a little kid. Now he's going to try and tell me something? How's that going to work? Hey, ho. And this is the attitude that Jesus dealt with just the same. He's coming to them with a godly wisdom, teaching them in the synagogue. That's what they called the church in the Old Testament, right, where they would worship. And he's doing miracles in all these places along these little towns and in this country areas. He's moving towards them. And they not only did they not believe it, they rejected him. He says, only in his own town, among his relatives in his own house, does a brother get treated this way. Everywhere else, they were ready to receive that miracle power. One last point, and we'll bring up this final passage. Just because someone accuses you of having a past, and a bad past, and they tell you things that are true, it doesn't mean you have to agree with the conclusions that they're drawing off of that. I remember when you used to woo, 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 and this, and this, and that. I remember this one time you did this, 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 and that. You can agree with that part. If it's the truth, let it be the truth. Yes, right. Whatever you said, yes, that's true. Well, so that means, therefore, this. No. Once a thug, always a thug. No. Disagree. Did I do the thing? Yes. Does that mean that's who I am forever? No. If you don't like it, too bad. I'll admit to the things that I've done in the past, but I'm not going to admit to the conclusions that you're drawing about me. You're making up all these things based on almost no facts. You're judging me and condemning me in this way. I can agree with those things without trying to defend myself, you understand? Because I'm not here to defend myself. I'm not here to build myself up. I'm coming in humility to this family, admitting I've made all these mistakes and there's nothing I can do to make it right. But God's forgiven me. I can't pay it off. I'm not going to try and pay it off. I'm not trying to make it be like I never did anything wrong. I'm living with the truth that I did this and I can't undo it. But when God forgave me, He said, from now on, this is who you are. You're a servant. That means you serve those people in that family. It means you do for them and you lift them up and you pray for them and you encourage them. You unload the groceries. You do whatever. You paint the fence. Whatever they need for you to do, that's what you do. You help them and you do that. You do that out of love. You do it out of thankfulness. You don't do that to try and pay off something, to make something right. That's a selfish motive. Amen? God bless y'all. We love you.